Be amazed what God hears from the depth of despair. Be amazed what God hears. I want to make a few statements. I'm not very political from the pulpit. On my Facebook account, one of the things I joy in is because of all the different people I went to school with and everything, I have just outright rank liberals that are friends with me. And once in a while they put things on Facebook I find disgusting. But you know what? I'm glad they're my friends. Mm-hmm. And once in a while I put things on Facebook they find disgusting. And when they react to it, I just tell them, I'm glad you're my friend. I am. I'm glad you're my friend, okay? I grew up in a world where you were supposed to be able to get along with people like that, okay? I grew up in that world. Back in the 2012 election, when it was over, I had a woman quit this church. She came to me and said, I found two people in your church that voted for Barack Obama. And I thought, only two? And I was disappointed because I would want this to be a place where that didn't matter. All right? I would want this to be a place where people who don't agree with me politically could come in here.
That's right.
Now, one of the men that hired me was Peter's grandfather, okay? Paul Gordon. Some of you remember him. He joined the Union young, and his father, who hated unions, told him, well, if you're going to be in the union, go the whole way. Don't do it half-hearted. So when I came in here, I used to brag that I believe I am the only independent, fundamental, King James, Bible-believing pastor who has a deacon that's a Hillary supporter. And I don't come in and mess with him. All right? It's a rare breed, all right, in churches like that. And, you know, Paul was just going to obey his dad. His dad said, go the whole way with it. All right. Now, I disagreed with Paul on that. All right. But I love the man never made a decision here as a deacon that was not for the good of this church. Never, ever did he make a decision. Okay. I had him confront me a couple times, and each time it was over something he believed was for the good of this church. All right. And so I would hope that those doors are always open to people of other political stripe. Yeah, I want to say this. We just had a national election in which, in almost any other election, the party out of power wins tons of seats. It didn't happen. There are a number of reasons it didn't happen. One is the nature of our republic. If you remember in the 2016 election, Mrs. Clinton got more votes nationally than did Donald Trump. And yet Donald Trump won the election because of how our country's parsed. And how we put those out. We heard cry babies cry, all right? They had a hard time with that. Somebody said, you know, in the last World Series, the losing team scored more runs than the winning team. And they had. But you don't have seven games and count all the runs. You count how many games you win, all right? So one team might have won 22-0 one game. The other team only won 1-1 games. It doesn't matter. They won the World Series. That's how we work, okay? In this last election, 5 million more Republicans voted than Democrats. Now, you stop and think about that. Nationwide, 5 million more Republicans voted than Democrats. It's just that in the places where the Democrats won, they were in a majority where they were going to win. We can cry like babies like that in 2016, or we can say to ourselves, hey, that is how our country is structured. I myself am a conservative, okay? Now, I politically identify with the Republicans, meaning I believe this is a republic, that there are certain rules that and certain laws that cannot be changed by majorities, okay? And I will defend those rules. The next thing is, every age group over 30 voted as a majority for Republican. Every age group over 30. Under 30 was a complete wash. They voted for Democrats, okay? But that's, I'm trying to show you that things aren't as black as what you think they might be. Now, where they are dark in this country is that the issue of abortion is one that God has lost on in this country. God won't lose in the end.
That's for sure.
Okay? Every one of those babies will stand up and point fingers at those mothers in that day. We may have some mothers here who will have fingers pointed at them. I hope you're covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, okay? Amen. And that's taken care of by Jesus Christ and handled by him, okay? Amen. Now, what do we say? Well, we couldn't do anything about it. Yes, we can do something about it. Jennifer Bailo, raise your hand. That woman there does a lot to keep the wrath of God off this nation. Why? She works with mothers to convince them to save their babies. Yeah. And when they do save their babies, the help that they can get. Why? Because God hates the shedding of innocent blood. Right. Hates it. Okay? Hates it. And he does not forget the shedding of innocent blood. He said, their blood cries out to me from the ground. Okay? As a church, seems like a minimum thing. But I would like to see us even put more effort in, okay, to what we can do to help those women that are struggling with this.
Yes.
Okay? Because it is a black eye to this nation.
That's right. Yes.
The state of Montana is a conservative state. But they voted in a referendum that if a baby survives an abortion is laying on the table, it cannot be saved. That was a conservative state. Conservative state. Because no one understands anymore. Okay? And you getting on Facebook and screaming at people how stupid they are because they're the other party isn't going to make anybody understand.
That's correct.
It's not going to do a single bit of good. You keep your ties to people who think otherwise than you. And from time to time, I'll put some pretty rough stuff. I put a thing up on Facebook yesterday. It showed the inflation rate since 2021. And it just shows inflation for years, and it said, whoop, way up here. And I said, well, at least we can still kill our babies.
Yeah.
And I made that statement, okay? Ma'am?
May I say something?
You may.
I want to tell you a story that I want you to never forget. She said, we were, this woman was dying, and she said, this woman was dying, and she was screaming, get these babies off of me, get these babies off of me, get these babies off of me. And somebody said to her, you had the babies. And she said, yes, she had aborted. So as she left this world, she was screaming, get these babies off of me.
Thought, thank you for that.
That's her hell for the rest of her life. I think she'll be screaming, get these babies off of me.
I'm going to repeat that because people on Facebook couldn't hear it, okay? Ms. Shirley Cook told a story that her mother told her of a woman dying in a hospital screaming, get these babies off of me. And they said, you don't have any babies. She says, no, I did. I aborted them. But as she's dying, get these babies off of me, get these babies off of me, get these babies off of me, okay? I've heard too many stories of people on their deathbeds talking about the flames and seeing them, okay? I've heard too many stories like that. They're hard, okay? I don't know how many are true, I don't know how many are not, but I know there's a great God, okay? And I know that he loves the innocent. And he said, if you've hurt a child, it would be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and to be cast into the sea than to have hurt that child, okay? I have people who grew up there as the hurt child. Some of you then manage to turn around and do your butt to hurt, okay? Stop it, okay? Stop it. Do good. 2 times in this pulpit in the last 3 weeks, a man has stood up and quoted Acts chapter 10 where it said Jesus Christ was a man who went about to do good. I'd never heard that preached before. You preached it and Adam Caesar did. 2 times. This pulpit, he was a man that went about doing good, okay? If you believe the right things, act the right way, okay? Don't make enemies with people on the other side, okay? Who knows that person, that woman today that's the, you know, aborting her second or third baby, you can imagine the hell she lives in. Can you grieve for that for a moment? Who knows? Maybe in a couple of years she could be in here and lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Okay? Who knows? Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 3.
Pastor.
Sir.
My wife sent me a message. Miss Hayne posted that Mary Botens is on her way to the ER.
All right. Mary Botens is on her way to the ER. She's had surgery on a carotid artery. She's a nurse. She understands what needs to be taken care of and what not. Pastor Hayne, would you stand and pray at this moment?
Father in heaven, we come to you now. And we ask that you be with Mary as she goes to the emergency room. Be with Brother Tim and Michelle as they stand by with her. Give the doctors wisdom to know what exactly is needed to treat the need that exists. Father, put your protection and your hand of care on Mary and bring her through whatever this particular happening is and is about. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Neil, would you stand and pray?
Heavenly Father, we just come to you because we know you know all. We just want to are aware now of what's going on. We just ask that you would be in this situation. We ask that you would just give them quick results, get them into the hospital quickly, and get the help that they need. And we just pray for spiritual help during this time as well, that you would just meet with them and give them peace. Thank you for your love.
Lastly, Ronnie, would you stand and pray?
Father, we ask you to be these individuals that travel to the hospital right now, Lord. Keep the trip safe, make a quick trip, quick, God. Let them arrive. The help prepared as they get their body. Be with a hand that ministers to them in the medical areas. Be merciful, God. Be good to this woman, God. Give her some more time with her family and her husband, God. Give her some more time to serve you around this earth. Thank you for it, Neil. Christ. Amen.
Amen. All right, 2 Peter chapter 3. I think by now the ladies who want to be helped out of the kitchen have kind of made themselves known. So at some point, Miss Jennifer, just kind of rethink how it's done, and might be some ladies once in a while, some all the time or whatever, but rethink how it's done and get some of that burden off yourself, and thank you for what burden you do take. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, okay? That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Let me tell you something. Is there any doubt that scoffers are walking after their own lusts? My son Carl, who spent 17 and a half years in prison, by the very grace of God, has come out, united with our family, has made a good testimony of salvation in Christ Jesus, and living a good life right now. But he made this statement to me. He said, Dad, never before in the history of man could anyone go look up anything they wanted to see, anything. There's no form of bestiality, fornication, yeah. Torture, you know, horrible humor, whatever. If you want to see it, it's there.
Yeah.
And the people who want to see it are scoffers. Why? Because they don't want to believe that there's such a thing as a God who will judge them. Okay? They don't want to believe that at all. Now, my Bible says, such were some of you. Okay? And you know that. Some of you still are drawn sometimes to that dark side or whatever else. And God give you strength. God strengthen you against it. Temptations that us older men couldn't even begin to have imagined, okay, in our lifetime that young men go through and young ladies go through. And I don't pretend that that's easy. I don't want to pretend that for 5 seconds, okay? Verse 4, and saying, here's what they say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. That's what we call deism. Okay? In other words, for example, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams were deists. All right? There were people who believed God made everything, but now he just leaves it alone. Just everything's running like it was. God does not get involved in the affairs of men whatsoever. Okay? And, you know, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. No, God gets involved in the affairs of men. One of the punishments we see is God will give bad leaders when he's angry with a country. Okay? If you see bad leaders out there, it's not because there's not a God. Sometimes it's because there is a God. Okay? I had a man call me the other day. He's got to do a funeral for somebody who at one time had been in his church. Okay? And he said, it's hard knowing that the man died young, but that he just quit going to church. And he said, what do you even say as far as his salvation? I said, number one, I don't talk about anybody's salvation in a funeral. I tell people where this person is depends on their relationship with Jesus Christ, and I leave it alone. Okay? Why? Because that's the truth. If the family members all remember a wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ, that's a wonderful thing. If they don't, they make it up. Well, you know, I remember Dad must have loved Jesus. He's the one he called on every time he hit his thumb with a hammer. Or whatever. You know, but, you know, you'd be amazed what people do at a funeral. But I said it's actually a good sign that he died young. Because if you live after the flesh, he shall die. It's a testimony for his salvation. The idea that he just quit going to church. And now it's just died, all right? As a fairly young man, okay? That's actually a testimony for his salvation. He said, yeah, I guess that is. I wouldn't bring that up at a funeral, all right? All right? But, you know, one of those things you look at. God gets involved in the affairs of men. Right. God does, okay? Now he goes on, says this, verse 5, for this they are willingly ignorant of. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Now, it's not that they're ignorant. They have steeled themselves against believing that. That's what it says. They heard it and willingly, they don't want to believe that's the truth. Exactly. Willingly, they do not want to believe that's the truth, okay? R.G. Lee, that great, he used to be the head of the Southern Baptists, okay? And in, back in the 1950s, when he resigned, he said, 85% of you men sitting here are lost. Okay? Now, let me tell you something. If you attended a Southern Baptist church in the 1950s, it was probably a better place than almost any independent Baptist church is today.
Yeah.
Okay? But he said 85% of them were lost. Now, whether he's right or wrong, I don't know. But he used to preach a great message called Payday Someday. Okay? God doesn't always pay on Friday. Payday Someday. And he preached in other ways where people thought, I got away with that. No, they didn't get away with it. You know, when I ran a company, I used to pay people on Monday. And they go, what do you pay them on Monday for? You'd be surprised what the morale is on Monday when you get a paycheck. And you know what? The guys that wanted drinking had to borrow money on Friday night to go drinking. And they paid the bills on Monday. And you know what? Absenteeism was zero on Monday. Yeah. You know, they were there. And you know what? Morale was high on Friday because they were all going home. They didn't need a paycheck for morale. And it's really, I'm amazed more businesses don't do that, you know. But everybody thinks, well, Friday, got to be payday. You know, God doesn't always pay on the day you think he's going to pay.
Yes.
All right? Doesn't always do that. Now, they're willingly ignorant that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Now, by the way, I don't believe that's Noah's flood. Most people do. I'm not angry with them. I believe that's Psalm 24 when the earth floated on the water. It's in the water, it's out of the water. Psalm 24, God established the world with its foundations on the seas. That's the one that got overturned in the book of Job, okay? Where he withdrew the water, sent it out, it's like a tsunami, and that's how you find it in Genesis 1. It's underwater, without form or void. It's just underwater, okay? I believe that. I believe the satanic kingdoms, which weren't satanic when they were started. They were the anointed cherub that covereth. He ran a kingdom there of angels. They rebelled. God turned it over and then took that earth, separated the waters above the waters from under the waters. It's in a big bubble now, the earth hanging there. Put the stars in there, outer space. Okay, I believe that. Why? Because I take my Bible more literal than most people do.
Good.
Okay, far more literal. Far more literal than Henry Morris ever took it. Okay? Far more literal. All right? But the thing is, they're willingly ignorant. Verse 6, wherefore the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Didn't say the earth perished, the world perished. Okay? If you ever read the story of Noah's flood, the world seemed to come through out of it pretty well. All the people perished, but the world was still there. Watch what Ham did. All right? But nevertheless, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment, perdition of godly men. So regardless of what flood you believe that is, God has flooded the earth. And people don't want to believe that. You have to go through, and again, one of the most natural wonders to ever show that. If you have never been through Rock City and Olean, you need to go through Rock City and Olean, okay? And you need to look at that. And then say, there wasn't a flood, there wasn't a flood, there wasn't a flood. Sure, you just keep telling yourself that, all right? Rocks like pyramids sitting upside down like this, all right? And it's stunning at some of the stuff you see. And the Velkovsky, that great Russian Jew, the linguist, who was an atheist, a friend of Albert Einstein's, and yet he was such a great linguist, they said there were over 70 dead languages around the world that they would bring him in because he could read their writings. And here's through it. And Velkovsky became convinced that there really had been a flood and wrote books on it as an atheist because he said it is impossible that when I go to the Aborigines of Australia, the Inuits of the Siberian steppes, and I go into the Indians of the Amazon River basin, every single culture in the world, without any exception, has the story of the flood.
That's right.
Everyone. And he said, if I'm a man of science, I have to admit it happened, okay? It happened. God has flooded this earth, okay? But people, I don't want to hear that. Why? Because it's judgment from God, okay? People don't like the idea that God's going to judge, all right? We sing a song, it will be worth it all. When we see Jesus, they sing, it will be worth it all till we see Jesus, all right? You take the same song, just change one word in it. All right? Now, again, verse 7. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The day's coming. The day's coming. God's going to judge. It's all going to be over. And then it goes on and says this, verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, for me, I got up this morning and realized that Christmas is 6 weeks away. 6 times 7 is 42 days. It's coming quick. Now, do you think Katie sees that as near? No. All right, not at all right? Right. You know, you think Caleb sees that as there? No, that's an unfathomable amount of time, all right? You can't even begin to imagine 42 days in a row, all right? You might as well tell him it's never coming as tell him it's 42 days in the future, all right? But when you've lived a long time, you know, I'm already worried about the Christmas of 2023, you know? And it's coming up faster than you want it, okay? My wife and I, we tend to eat our breakfast late. And it's our big meal of the day. We just, you know, she likes the low-carb thing, and she makes it all. People come in and criticize. No, we're early. This is tomorrow's breakfast. All right? But the whole point of that is, for God, 1,000 years isn't a big thing. It's not a big thing to God that he waits 1,000 years, okay? There's an old English hymn, Adam lay abounding. In other words, he was in bondage. Adam lay abounding in a bond, 4,000 winter, thought he not too long, all right? In other words, here's that bondage that Adam's in for those 4,000 years, okay? But Deo gratias, you know, Jesus Christ is born. And, you know, he steps in. For God, 4,000 years, just 4 days for him. Wasn't much, okay? It's not a big thing to God that if he should wait. Do you realize there are people in North Korean concentration camps right now who think this is the tribulation and it's not? And wonder where is the promise of his coming? And they're good people. They're good. John the Baptist. He had some doubts, didn't he, for a little while sitting in prison. And Jesus Christ never criticized him over that. Didn't criticize him at all, okay? You'll have dark days. Days of darkness still come over me. Sorrows pass off and tread. Ah, but the Savior still is with me. By his hand I'm safely led. Now, let me tell you something. I've been in those dark days and had trouble finding that hand. I've had trouble finding that hand in some of those days. I can look back and yes, he was there. There's that song. He was there all the time. He was there all the time. Waiting patiently in love. He was there all the time. Those are wonderful things, okay? But just keep in mind, one of the principal natures of God is long suffering. That ability to wait a long time. And it is a fruit of the Spirit of God in your life if you let it work. Okay? Long suffering. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. And you'll find people, you talk to them, they won't use the word slack, but when you're done, they called God slack. Mm-hmm. He didn't do what he said he'd do. Where's God? Why didn't he help me with this? Okay? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you realize that there may be someone in a North Korean concentration camp? There might be somebody sitting in a Chinese prison begging Jesus Christ to return 10 years ago, and if Jesus Christ had, you'd be in hell. If he'd answered their prayer, you'd be in hell. But he's long-suffering towards us, Lord. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, okay? There's that God waiting, holding out, because it's part of his nature is to be long-suffering. But what's the opposite of perishing? Coming to repentance. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, okay? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and all and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Let me tell you something. That's not the rapture there. Okay? This is the day of the Lord. That's the day that they asked Jesus Christ, when will that be? And he said, I don't know. It's up to the Father. That's the day. Okay? There. Well, why would he tell us that and not tell us about the rapture? Because Peter's writings are designed that people in the tribulation for them to read. Okay? Doesn't mean that's not for us either. We look at that and say, okay, when the day of the Lord comes, when Jesus Christ returns, we won't be here then. I hope none of you are here then.
Amen.
Okay? We won't be here then. Okay? We'll go off with Jesus Christ when he comes, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then them which are in Christ will rise afterwards. And, you know, as the Apostle Paul said, we'll not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, okay? And that will happen. Then that 7 years will come in, and it's going to be time. The time will be shortened, all right? Be shortened. My pastor used to say, probably in the 42nd month, that's why Job only had 42 chapters. I don't know if that's so or not, but nevertheless, it's one of the things he taught, okay? But regardless of that, actually not in the 47th, but the 38th. That's when God shows up in the book of Job. So he said in the 38th month of the second part of the tribulation, he believed the Lord would show up at that point, shortening that time. Or else there would no flesh. In other words, do you realize there's a couple things that the devil would like? One, we saw today, he'd like to get an advantage of you by you holding grudges and carrying things on and going to God all the time about people you can't stand and that kind of thing. And you know what? Again, you know, a good practice for some of you this week would be to take somebody that you really have trouble with, all right? I'm a good volunteer for that. But if you really have trouble with somebody, really troubled by them, that person, why don't you go and spend this week and think of every good thing that you can think about that person and praise God for that stuff about that person. And then ask God for tremendous blessings on that person's life. Beg God for those blessings. Tell God, if you have a blessing you wanted to give me, give it to them. Okay? Give it to them. Pour it on them. Make their life wonderful. Make it gracious. You say, well, they're just a horrible person. They're going to use it wrong. Well, let God judge that, okay? You just take care of that and let God handle it his way. But the point to this is we have got to live through this time. We know that God is long-suffering. I would hope that your behavior, and you know what? I'm going to skip real quick. And he says this. Look at verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. So if you're somebody who really believes that Jesus Christ is going to come and that he's really going to judge the world and that it's not going to be a fun thing, he said, hey, if you're one of them, then live in peace. Live without spot. Live the right way. That's the proof you really believe it. Pastor Haynes?